beyond His power to solve. Other situations He's not the master of. Is anything too hard for God?
Only believe, trust His word, you'll see. His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much He loves you. There's really only one. Is anything too hard for God?
Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations He's not the master of? Is anything situations He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God?
I think we're set.
Yeah.
We're ready to go. Now, if you're visiting with us tonight, or those of you that are joining us from our Spanish ministry, on Wednesday nights we've been studying about the church in the last days. You believe we're in the last days? I don't. I believe we're in the last days of the last days. We're not just in the last days. You see, we found out that in Scripture that in the last days, the Scripture said, perilous times shall come. Now, to kind of catch you up to speed of what we're going to be studying tonight, many have often heard, I'm sure, that said, or maybe even preached, and I don't think it's the wrong application, but many times we think that it's the world and what's happening outside the church that's going to bring about the coming of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that. I don't believe that listen, folks, the outside the church, it's always been bad. It's always been wicked. It's always been awful. See, what I'm saying is, I believe what's going to bring back the coming of Jesus Christ is what's going on inside the church. And how depraved that what's going on inside the church and what is happening, the conditions that are going on inside the house of God. And what's happening today in 2013 is we're seeing more and more, listen now, not perilous times outside the church, perilous times inside the church. The world is starting to be embraced and welcomed to come in and be among us. And it was never designed that way, ever, ever before. Well, we find in Revelation chapter 3 a church that fell and seems to draw a pattern and a picture to the day and time in which we live. So let's stand together, if you would, please. And look, if you would, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now you can go down and read verses 17 and 18 and 19, but I want you to look at the last word of verse number 19, because it gives us some indication here that God still wants to do something with the church of the last days. Because notice what he says. He says, be zealous therefore, and does your Bible say repent? What he says is stop bringing the world in the church. Get rid of those things that are divisive to the cause of Christ. He says, look and turn your heart back to me. He says, repent of being cold. Repent of being lukewarm. Repent of these things that are divisive against the things of God. And when you go read those things, you'll notice there that, you know what, they had no concern for one another. They had no concern for the things of God. It was kind of the day and time of, they were the kind of the church of the whatever. Okay? That matter of fact, that's probably what they should have been called is the whatever church. Because that's kind of what they, that's kind of the approach they took. Didn't matter what, how you presented ministry. Didn't matter what you did, where you went. Whatever. It's fine with us. Didn't matter. And God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He said, that's not Christianity at all. That's not how the church was supposed to go forward at all. But he said, repent. And then look at verse 20, our text verse. Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, I don't know about you, kind of sounds to me like he ain't through yet. And I am not and will not accept those gloom and doomers, doom and gloomers, whatever you want to call them, that say the church of the living God is dead today. I don't believe that. I believe that the church is alive. I believe that God wants to bless the church. He wants to revive the church. And regardless, I think he wants to do something in the last days, or he would never have told the church at Laodicea to repent. He said, repent. In other words, change, turn. And then the next verse we see, he says, now, when you turn, listen. Because I want to do something in your lives. Father, bless now the short time that we have. Teach us, we pray, Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, there are many critics of the church today and the bride who say that the church has gone apostate today. She's committed fornication and adultery with the world, and she'll never turn back. She'll never turn her heart back to the groom. I don't believe that. I believe the Lord is coming back. I believe that he wants to do something in the local church. Not just this local church, but every local church. And not just in this country, but around the world, who will receive him and allow him to come in and do something wonderful and great. You see, the Laodicean church seems to depict the inside of the church and the conditions of the last days. Well, before Jesus comes to claim his bride, it sure seems that he wants her to return to her place of prominence. You see, because the bride has been flirting. Did you hear me? I said the bride has been flirting. And she's been flirting with the world. She's cast her eyes toward the world and thought, you know what? What's the big deal? I mean, by the way, I'm already engaged. The groom's coming. You know what? Hey, it's no big deal just because I flirt a little bit. There's nothing. That's harmless. Well, it would be if you weren't engaged to Jesus. You see, the thing about it is we're not talking about an individual here. We're talking about the church of the living God. We're talking about the bride of Christ. And the church has been flirting with too many things outside the realm of her engagement that has caused the groom. You listen to me. And if she doesn't turn, the groom's coming back to get the bride. He will not let the bride go and leave. But the bride is flirting around with the things of the world. And the Laodicean church represents somewhat where we are today in a lukewarm society, in a lukewarm condition. Listen, inside the church. Inside the church. Now, that's what's being addressed here. But I want you to look, first of all, if you would, at the condition of the church. Look at verse 15. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. The condition of the church of the last days, that Laodicea, their problem was, listen church, their problem was they lost their vision and focus on what their purpose was. Wake up! You know what our purpose is? Our purpose is not to have a band on the platform to entertain you. Amen. The purpose is not to have groups in. The purpose is not to have a performance so that you and I can come and be entertained. The church was never designed for entertainment purposes. The church has always been designed to promote the purpose. And the purpose has always been Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that ain't going to sit well with some. But you know what? That's what the purpose of the church is. If you want to be entertained, there's entertainment places all over the place. We got a big one called Six Flags right down here that'll entertain you as long as you want to be entertained. If you want to go, go. But that's not what the church is for. Laodicea lost its vision. It lost its idea and focus on what its purpose is. Now listen, I'm not being critical of anyone. I'm just telling you, folks. I'm not against exercise. I like exercise. But you know what? The church is not to be the next Zumba location. It's not. It's not what its purpose is. You know what the purpose of the church is? It's to promote Christ. Not to promote weight loss. You say, I'm not against that, but listen, what I'm saying is you start getting these types of things in there, and that's where the people's focus becomes. Church at Laodicea lost their focus. They lost their vision of their purpose. Then, the next thing we find them, they became apathetic to the plan of God, listen, and promoting Christ. All of a sudden, it was no longer about souls on the outside, it was all about them on the inside. It was all about what are you going to do for me today? Preacher, what kind of programs are you going to have for me? How are you going to make me happy today? So when I come to church, I want to be happy. What are you going to feed me? What are we going to do? What kind of fun are we going to have? Well, we got to open our Bible. Can we watch a movie? Can we do something fun? Can we put a puzzle together? Surely there's got to be some fun going on here. Folks, listen. We laugh at that, but do you realize that's what's going on in too many churches in America today? Too many things that are not promoting Christ anymore. The church, listen, their first problem was they lost their vision about their purpose. Then the next thing, they became apathetic to the plan of God and the promotion of Christ. Listen now, look at verse 17. Because thou hast said, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. Stop. You know why they were miserable? Because they weren't fulfilling their purpose. And when you know you're supposed to be doing something, you're not doing it, you know what you are? Miserable. Because you know what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing it. And now listen, here's what happened. When you read verses 17 and 18, they lost their vision, they became apathetic to the plan and purpose and promotion of Christ. Listen now, then they began to develop the social approach to ministry rather than the spiritual approach. They began to look for ways to get people in regardless. By the way, it didn't matter who they were, what they believed. You just come on in here because we all are brethren. We're all the same. By the way, we're all serving the same God, right? You say, people believe that? Yeah. Brother Gonzalez was here the other day. You know who came and visited us? Two clerics from the mosque right down the road. You know what they want us to do? They want us to understand them. They wanted to build a relationship and a unity and an equal unity here between Trinity Baptist and them. No, I'm sorry. We're not. We're not going to do it. Now, you can get mad. You can take your food and somewhere. They wanted us to come up to an open house and they were going to feed us feet. You know, that's fine if somebody else wants to do it, but I'm not doing it. And I'm not going to promote it to our church. But listen to me, that's what's going on, my friend, inside the church. You know how many Baptist churches probably showed up down there? You'd be amazed. You know what? Listen, folks, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you, we're not brethren. Okay, I'm sorry. Two separate lines. If you don't believe it, go check me out in the Bible. God said the line that most Islamic and Muslim people came from the line of Ishmael. They're Ishmaelites. You know what how God described him? As a wild man. That's what he described him as. He said they were separate. Listen, folks, listen, wake up. God even separated them. And we're gonna join arms and you've seen the bumper stickers and coexist? No, we can't, folks. You say, well, preacher, we don't want to be mean. Brother Ricky, you weren't mean to him, were you? No, he just told him no. That's the way it is. So what I'm saying is the church then began to develop a social approach rather than a spiritual approach. They begin to reach out in the community. And hey, I'm all for reaching the community. If you don't believe it, look at our budget. We got a lot of things that we reach out in the community to. We're just not going to join hands with Muslims. Then they became, next, the condition, I'm talking to conditions, then they became unresponsive to rebuke and chastisement. That's the reason Jesus had to tell them, repent. Because in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. They became unresponsive to rebuke and chastisement. And then the call to repent came. Why? Because of her attitude. Any of you mamas and daddies had to call your children down and say, listen, we need to talk about your attitude. Yeah? You see, you know what? You know why Jesus told the church, repent? He said, you got a bad attitude. You're a bunch of bad attitude Baptists. Y'all need to repent. And he says, listen now. He says, because the condition of the local church is in such disarray today because we've lost the vision. Listen, folks, I'm talking about churches in general. We've lost the, so there's the condition of the church. Now, we go to verse 20, our verse for tonight, quickly. Let me talk to you about the confrontation of the Savior. Because the good thing about it is, Jesus confronted them. And guess what? He's confronting us today. And you know what he said he's doing, Trinity Baptist Church? He said, you're going to be one of the churches of the last days that's going to let me in and begin to send revival and begin to grow this church and build this church for the glory of God so that we can become a lighthouse in the Arlington area to reach our city. Look at what he said. The scripture says, behold, and notice here, it said, Jesus said, I stand. Now, wait a minute now. When you go read the scriptures, when Jesus ascended back to the Father, the scripture says he sat down, right? At the right hand of God. So what's he doing standing up? You see, I found out in scripture, when something's extremely important to Jesus, you know what he does? He stands up. When it's real important, and let me tell you something, friend, you know what's real important to him? The bride. Very important to him. And since the bride is important to him, you know what he's doing? He's standing up. Because there's such a great need here. Because he needs to get her attention. You know what he's trying to say? Stop flirting with them guys. They don't love you. I have cared for you. I have spent money on you. I have met your needs. They've done nothing for you. So let's get your eyes back over here on the groom. He said, I stand, which indicates that he's serious, folks. And currently, as I said, he's seated at the right hand of God. Let me tell you something. You ought to go find every time Jesus stood up in the Bible, it's a serious matter. It's a very serious matter. But then he says, behold, I stand. And then he says, notice this now, at the singular, the door. He didn't say, I stand at the doors. He said, I stand at the door. Now, you know what that indicates to me? That indicates to me that opportunity, there's opportunity and responsibility the church has. There's an opportunity and responsibility. And did you notice that he's standing at a single door? And this informs us that Christ is interested in entering in only under his terms and conditions, not our terms and conditions. Amen? You see, a lot of people want to have church, but they want to have them under their conditions, under their terms and conditions. They don't operate that way. That's the reason there's one door. Matter of fact, Jesus was so narrow-minded when it came to salvation. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, that's pretty narrow-minded. Yeah, very narrow-minded. You know why? Because that's the way that leads to eternal life. Narrow is the way. He says, you know what? Not many people go in thereat. Very few people are taking the narrow way. He said, it's a single door. I'm standing at the door. It's serious because there's a responsibility and we have a great opportunity today. And notice what he's doing at the door. And knock, which indicates a challenge. Most of the little kids in your house, when the door knock comes at the door, you know what they want to do? Help me out now. They want to go open the door without checking out to see who's at the door. Right? The other day I was knocking the door out soul winning. And I knocked the door and I heard a kid say, someone's at the door. And they ran over there and tried to open it. And the next thing I heard was the mom in the background, don't you open that door. Well, the thing about it is, the mom was right. Yeah, you got to find out who's at the door, right? And the thing about it is, church, when you look through the peephole, guess who's standing at our door? The Lord is. And He's knocking. And He wants to come in. You see, He says, I stand at the door knock, which indicates a challenge. It's an attention that Christ is here and He wants to come in. You know what He's trying to do with Trinity Baptist Church and every church in America and around the world? He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to open our mind and spirit and say, look, hey, I'm over here. I'm over here. And I want to come in. Now, there we have the condition of the church. We've seen the confrontation of the Savior. Here's the last thing and I'm done. Here's the consolation of the answer. Here's the consolation when you look at it. Look what He says. If. Circle that word. It's the biggest word in the Bible. The word if. If. I-F. If any man. Which means there's a choice involved here, right? Yeah, there's a choice involved. The Trinity Baptist Church, I'm just going to tell you, we're either going to choose to be a part of this or not. If the Lord's knocking, we can choose to open it up. Now, I don't know about you. As your pastor, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get the door open. I'm trying to. But you know what? The amazing thing in the local churches, what happens is the pastor or maybe even a portion of the people are trying to get the door open. But you know, there's a portion of the people saying, don't open that door. Amen. I'll just say amen myself. Because they are. Because you know what? Because if you open the door, guess what? Somebody's coming in, right? And it may not be who you want to come in. And so Jesus is knocking at the door, which indicates there's a choice here. And then notice what He says, if any man hear My voice, which is recognition of His identity and His purpose. Now I want you to look at, all you kids, look up here. How many of you, no question, if your mom called you on your cell phone, you'd recognize her voice? You don't have to go see her. If she called, you recognize her voice. All right? Yeah. Not hard, is it? Why? Because when you're around somebody a lot and you communicate with somebody a lot, it's not hard to pick out their voice, right? And listen, you know what He's talking about here? He said, listen, if any man hear My voice, He said, the voice ought to be familiar. You've heard this before. You say, when have I heard the voice of Jesus? Remember that day when tears ran down your face and He said, I want to come into your heart and save your soul and forgive you of your sins? You say, oh, I love that voice. That's that same still, small voice. And you know what He's doing this time? He's knocking. He says, if any man hear My voice. Because obviously, He wouldn't have voiced anything if somebody hadn't have said, who is it? Am I right? What's He doing talking if nobody asks? So He realized, come on, help me out. He realized somebody's home, right? So somebody must have said, well, who is it? It's Jesus. It's God. Who? God. We don't know no God. Not in this house. Don't you understand? We don't have time. We don't have time to do what you want. We got Zumba class here shortly. He said, if any man hear My voice, that means there has to be some immediate recognition of a purpose here. And then notice what He said. I will come in to Him. I will come in to Him. Notice what He says there. He says, if you hear My voice, oh, I forgot, open the door, didn't I? Somebody got to open the door. That means somebody's got to surrender to let whoever's at the door in. Somebody's got to go willfully and say, you know what? If I let you in, obviously I'm accepting everything you are when you come in. So if I open the door, I'm opening it to you and everything's coming in. Everything about you, everything who you are, everything's coming in. That open door means surrender. Somebody's going to have to open the door. And then He says, I will come in to Him. Jesus said, you open the door, I'll come in. But He says, I'm not going to force My way in. And I'm not going to knock until My knuckles turn red. He said, I'm knocking right now. And if you don't open the door right now, then you must not be one of the churches that want Me to come in. Notice what He says there. He says, I will come into Him, which means I will reinstate you. I will pardon you. I will empower you. He says, if you're willing to open the door, that tells Me that obviously you want to repent, right? You want to change your ways. And then He said, I'll come in and will sup with Him. which means fellowship. He said, I'll come in, we'll fellowship. I'll teach you. I'll guide you. He says, listen, we'll have union and we'll have a common cause together. He said, I'll reinstate you to the place that you need to be. And then notice he says, and he with me, which tells that we have the privilege and the power of God at our fingertips. And you know where it is, folks? It's just on the other side of the door. That's all it is. It's just on the other side of the door. You say, how I want it? How do we get it? You got to open the door. You say, well, can we do it as a church? Well, let me say this to you, folks. This is how it works. The thing about it is, one person and one member of this church is not the church. We are the church. You see, the reason Pentecost exploded like it did was because they were one heart, one soul, one mind. That's how that all happened. If it's going to happen again, guess what it is? Trinity Baptist Church, it cannot be 99.2%. If God is going to do a miraculous work through Trinity Baptist Church in this city, that's going to have to be all of us. Listen, that means when the preacher goes to the door, he can't have some people say, don't open that door. He says, well, we need to go win people to Christ. Don't open that door. Well, we need to run buses. Don't open that door. Listen, we got missionaries that need to go across the world. I said, don't open that door. And then, you know what? Churches all over America, the preacher's handcuffed because nobody wants him to open the door. Because nobody wants to run the buses. Nobody wants to surrender to the mission field. Nobody wants to do the things that are necessary to get going around the church. Listen now. Listen to me, church. That's the reason the average tenure of most pastors in America, all denominations combined, 2 years or less. You know why? Nobody wants him to open the door. They're satisfied with their Zumba classes. Boy, I'm on that big time. Anybody? No, I'm just kidding. But they're satisfied with the social ministry. Because the social ministry is appealing, right? The social ministry is not a whole lot that anybody is going to put any pressure or anything as far as ministry and stuff. Nobody ever, I probably in social ministry, nobody's going to bug you about going soul winning. Nobody's going to bug you about missions. Nobody's going to bug you. You just come and you can be part of the whatever church. That's what the church at Laodicea was. God said about that church, I spew you out of my mouth. And folks, you know what he's telling the church today in the last days? Repent. He wants to send revival. Here's what we're going to decide. Do we want it or not? And if the church says no, hold on now. The groom's coming to get the bride because he's not going to let her flirt long. He's not going to let her give her affections away. He will come. And so you know what's going to decide when the groom comes? When Jesus returns and the archangel shouts and the trump sounds? It's not going to be what's happening out here. It's going to be what's happening in here is what's going to determine it. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. Would you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me.